From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, 2020 NHL Draft. I kind of wish had things been a normal life, I would have been out there in Montreal enjoying it, but things are different, and I like what the NHL did this year, despite the circumstances. And right before we came on, the Rangers moving up three slots to 19, giving up a couple of picks for Brady Schneider, but the number one overall pick, I think Rangers Town, Rangers Twitter, Rangers social media, no matter Rangers Blue Town, I saw it in Times Square, outside the Garden, everywhere. Anywhere you're a Blue Shirts fan, everybody's happy, and I think we could all be ecstatic. And I'm Ranger Proud, it was hard keeping up with every tweet coming your way today, man. It was overwhelming, bro. Ranger Proud, Downtown Sports Media, Ranger Proud, Twitter, Facebook, all that should bang. RP, what a day for the Blue Shirts. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good. Yeah, it was it was great to hear.
Hard to keep
words
up, man.
When Jeff Gordon finally made him wait the 5 minutes, which was ridiculous. But anyway, to hear him call out his name.
That. I saw that. Why they milk it?
They've done it with all the teams I've noticed. Most, I think they want NBC, SN to do the little hype highlight films before each pick. I don't know why they're giving them 5 minutes in between picks, though. It's a bit much. You would have thought, since there weren't a lot of interviews and weren't a lot of interaction between the picks and the media and so forth. I thought it would have went a lot faster. But, hey, whatever it is, like you said, it's been a – considering the circumstance, it's been a good show. They've done a good job of getting the information to the fans and getting some interviews with the players. And, of course, for the Rangers, it's a great day because Lafreniere is going to be a fantastic hockey player. He's such a playmaker and a goal scorer. Don't know exactly where they're going to get him in the lineup, how things are going to shake out, but there's a lot of time between today and whenever the NHL season starts. So really excited that to see him put on that Ranger jersey today. We've been talking about it, and it's been anticipated. But, the Rangers kept everything really close to the vest this time, Steve. They said nothing, I guess, just in case something flipped. They were able to cover their bases. But it was a really good day for Ranger fans. It's a great move for this team. The future is really bright. We've come a long way since the letter in 2018, Steve.
It really has, man. And thank you to the Carolina Hurricanes for all you've done to make this happen. We thank you. Our time was short in the bubble, but it was all worth for today, man. I haven't seen so many Ranger fans so excited. Man, maybe since going to the finals, man, about, what, 5-6 years ago? Even longer. Yeah, about that. No, longer than that. Versus the Kings. So, for RP, tell us about the player that we're getting at the number one overall pick. I mean, we touched a little bit on that when we had the lottery episode. And you know me, I am big on homework. I do a lot of research for all the sports that I watch and root for. And I'll be honest, like I said, this past hockey season, which was the irony in all this, I've done more homework on the pick we did at number 19 than we did at number one, because I was following more of the WHL, the OHL, the talent that we're getting at the wing. Making this fit as far as, because the Rangers are pretty good at wings, but how could we make this fit, and what the type of player we're getting there?
Making him quit isn't going to be an issue. He's absolutely a top six forward, and maybe in the very beginning they have him on the third line to just get adjusted to the speed. But this kid is a confident hockey player. He's a playmaker, guys. I mean, he had 112 points this past season in only 52 games. He scored 35 goals, which is great in itself, Steve. But he had 77 assists. Kid can pass the puck. The kid is a playmaker all the way. He's gonna make everybody around him that much better. He's fast. He's aggressive. He has incredible speed. He's physical, and he likes to get into those hard, tight-checking areas and get the puck out and get it to the open defenseman on the blue line or the guys in front of the net. He's a gritty, gritty player, and I really think he's going to fit. He's going to fit right into the Rangers, you know, blue style of hockey player that, you know, tough it out, the grinder in the corner. Fans are going to love that. He's got some really good write-ups for some a lot of people, but just from what you've seen on him in his highlight films, he can put the puck in the net. He can skate two ways. He likes to back check. I can't believe how many videos I've seen of him back checking all the way back as a winger, which is just what you want, and he's only 18. The kid plays a real funny story. They've compared him to Sidney Crosby, who also played in Rimouski, Quebec, with the same team he played for, and he had a great answer to it on one of the clips shown today. I'm not Sidney Crosby. I'm me, and that's who I want to be. That's awesome. I mean, the kid's just already establishing himself as if he's going to be a top player, it's going to be everyone's going to know him for who he is, not who he plays like. A great, great attitude. I think he's definitely a fit. You know, they're going to move him around. They're going to put him on the left wing. Maybe they'll move him to the right side. They're going to put him wherever he's comfortable and wherever he can make the team that much better. He's going to put pressure on guys like Buchnevich now. Let's be realistic. Regardless if he's left wing or right wing, he's going to put heat on a lot of guys to step up and play better or get out of the way. But the Rangers should have a really, really strong, solid top six somewhere early in the season. Like I said, you don't want to throw him to the Wolves. You want to give him a little bit of time. But this kid gives you the impression and gives you it shows the confidence that he's ready to go at 18 years old. And I think they're in for a real treat when you see this guy play.
Yeah, man, that guy can score, man. Like you said, a lot of points, a lot of assists. Very, very excellent as far as the vision and getting to his spots, and just especially with hockey because it's an anticipation sport about where you're going to be. And watching a couple of games, I'm not going to be a front runner RP. RP, I'm real. I'm not going to pretend like, oh, man, I knew we were getting him the whole time. Shoot, I didn't even know the Rangers were even going to be in that position to get the number one pick. That's why I didn't even bother entertaining studying the top maybe 6-8. You know, where I was kind of studying, like I said before on the lottery show, was kind of like that mid-teens, late teens, where a lot of the guys I was following up on, and which we kind of – and we could get to that a little bit later with Brandon Schneider from the WHL out there in Western Canada. But, yeah, I mean, this – I'm still kind of almost damn near shocked that we even got to this position because the lottery things fell right into our hands. But yeah, I'm thoroughly excited.
Yeah.
As far as you would think, theoretically, your top six has got to be. Let me have to process this right now. Especially within our division, I mean, we kind of need that, man, because the division is loaded. So
you would think you would keep. You would keep the Zibanejad, Buchnevich, and Kreider line because that's been hot. But now what do you do with your second line? You've got Panarin, Strome, and then that other wing has been rotated on. It was Kako sometimes. It was Jesper Fast sometimes. You got to think somewhere Lafreniere moves up to that line,
Eventually.
It depends what happens. There are some trade rumors going on right now. You don't know who's coming, who's going. So there are little things that, you know, that might throw things off. I think it puts a lot of pressure on the third and fourth line guys, believe it or not, because this kid's going to make the club out of interest. There's no way he's not making the club out of camp. So
yeah,
right off the bat, you got to be looking. Something's going to be different. And I think it's going to make all the other guys play better. I always say, competition makes everyone around you better. You're going to have this kid coming in, and he's not cocky by any stretch of the imagination. He's confident. There's a difference. He wants to prove to the Rangers, to the city, to the fans, to the leagues, that he deserves to be the number one overall pick. And I tell you, he's going to come in flying high, and it's going to be great for the Rangers. You know, now you're really starting to get things that we haven't had in years. The Rangers are a legitimate scoring threat. You know, Zibanejad's been playing great. Panarin's been playing great. If Strome's still with the team, he was scoring points. They got Laferriere, mm-hmm. obviously is a playmaker. When Kreider's on fire, Kreider's playing the back of the net. You know, mm-hmm. we're expecting, and let's not forget, we're expecting a lot out of Kako this year. We're expecting a tremendous right. amount out of Hedl this year. You know, you got Krapstov who's having an incredible time in the KHL and probably is going to come back for training camp when and if that time comes. So the Rangers now all of a sudden potentially could be a real offensive team, which we haven't really had in years. You know, they have to improve on the blue mm-hmm. line. Hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. Trade. The Flames just traded a 22nd pick they got from the Rangers.
Yeah,
to the Capitals.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw
that's
that.
Kind of interesting.
That on NBC Sports.
That
man.
Was yeah, oh. that's a little mm-hmm. that's a little weird. They traded down against the Rangers pick and then they traded down for 24 in this round and a second round pick. Strange.
Mm.
It's a little odd for the Flames. You're trying to improve and you keep moving yourself down. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, as I was saying, the Rangers now need to work on a defense, which was why, Steve, a lot of people were surprised that who the Rangers took at 19. Another defenseman. Would have really thought that would have been another forward. The Rangers, other than needed to replace Mark Stahl with an NHL-ready defenseman, which is what Gordon is looking for, they're pretty solid on defense. Mm-hmm. They really, I mean, they need another defenseman. They need another forward, another strong forward. So a lot of people thought they were going to take Laperriere at that point, but they went with the defenseman again. So who knows what they're thinking? You can't really second-guess them because Jeff Gordon's been making all the right moves the last couple of years. So you got to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Let me fill you in Rangers Town a little bit about Schneider, because I've paid attention a little bit of the WHL when I could around NHL games, around all the sports we all do for the Bleed Blue show. Their team came in, they're like in third place in the East, in the West, in the WHL, the Western Hockey League in out there in Canada. The thing is, he was, you know, they're obviously their top, one of their top defensemen. He's a big guy. He's very solid. He's a very, I mean, I thought you would be all in love with him. He's more your traditional defensive like type of you know defender. You know, old school kind of guy, not these new hybrid scoring guys. You know, he can play a little bit
right.
of power play too for you if you have to put him in that situation. But you know, they're probably going to groom him and. Bring them up eventually, as we all know. I think that you could see a lot of Bright. He's really confident and works hard, and he's tough. The kid is tough. I give you that. Like there was a couple of games I saw versus the Hitmen. That's a team in Calgary, and the team versus
uh-huh.
the Regina Pats. Man, guy play, man. That's why I'm glad I kind of looked into the WHL streams and when I could and. On a random Saturday, let's say the Rangers already done played, and I'm going through the OHL circuit, the WHL. And I don't know if you can remember, there was a conversation we had on one of the episodes, probably a post game on the Rangers before the COVID. And I was telling you, man, I couldn't get my hands on the KHL games out there out in Russia, but because it's so hard, you know, obviously for obvious reasons. But the WHL games, OHL games, and then, like you say, because you've always been adamant on following the AHL with the Hartford Wolfpack and all that. So you got to keep tabs on all these circuits. And it's really hard because there's so many
mm-hmm.
of them. But at least
this
one, I'm like, okay, I can vouch for a guy that said, you know, he's a guy who could play. He's a good defender. And then all the defensemen, the Rangers either acquired as far as free agents or even drafted. You know, I say this is actually a solid move for them, man. Because you can never be more tougher than what you already are, and I like the kid that what he brings to this table as far as that. But yeah, I mean the Rangers, of course they have holes, but you know this is a grade A draft. I mean obviously you get the number one pick, the painted picture of the best player overall according to most people that study the sport, the scouts, and you know. From what I saw on the clips and maybe one or two games that I saw, yeah, the kid could play. Yeah, I mean, to me, he's more a Huberde than anything. Not He has Sidney Crosby impact, but I told you he reminds me of Hubert over in Florida. But yeah, you get that, and you get a defenseman. One of the guys on the NHL Network appeared on the Booka Boom. I'm like, wow, well, damn, you're talking about old school. So hey.
And Steve, there goes the guy I thought the Rangers were going to take because they're tight for centers. And Hendrick Seperier, who the Rangers passed over, just went to the Capitals. So we're going to see if that hurt them or not. I really thought they were going to take them because, and what everything you said about the defenseman is right. But the Rangers are in need of centers, and they had one right
there.
That's true. That's the only reason why I didn't like the pick. It wasn't the player at all. It was that was a pick where they could have taken advantage of. They moved up. They moved up because they really wanted that defenseman. Doesn't make sense. If they were moving up, I really would have thought it would have been for a forward, for a center. And I was really hoping that Taylor Berry. He's solid. He's another, and it's like I said, it's no knock to the player the Rangers drafted. It's a knock to it was a positional move. The Rangers are now they're gonna have to try to draft another center, trade for another center, which may or may not be the easiest thing to do, especially if they have to watch the salary cap situation. So I give Gordon every benefit of the doubt because he hasn't been wrong yet. He's been pretty much dead on. He's made some great moves over the years. Some great trades. He's a really good GM. So at this point, you're like, all right, you know something, go with it. But it is an interesting non-move.
Yeah, I mean, year to year with this NHL draft, because last year, you know, watching it at the Garden when Capocacco got drafted, like year to year, you either had the talent come from the USA team with the under-18 team. You've got the team, you know, the QMJHL. You got the OHL another year. I mean, you have the Swedish players. So you got talent coming from all over. And as far as the Capitals, man, I mean, getting that'd be interesting to understand if he's going to answer that question as far as what they draft for. They're probably never going to fully admit it, what their strategy was.
Yeah,
but we'll see what they say on the press conference. We'll see what they say.
Now,
I don't want to lose the test. It has nothing to do with our team. But I said it, and I said it on social media, man. Listen, man, the great job at the NHL. I loved it. I got to say, RP, it has nothing to do with the Rangers. It's just the draft pick and the situation. What they did with the Jeopardy pick with Ottawa is the best thing I ever seen. Probably any
great
pick in any sport. I'm going to tell you what, Jeopardy is one of my favorite games of all time. Like, I'm a big Ken Jennings fan. I love Jeopardy. Grew up, you know, love the quizzes, love the Daily Doubles and Final Jeopardy and all that. And when the fact that they brought in Alex Trebek, we all know what he's going through, you know, with the cancer and fighting that. I thought that was fantastic. I loved it.
And yet, right behind it, I love what Winnipeg did when it brought in Dale Hawerchuk's wife to make the pick for them. He died earlier this year. I was a huge Hawerchuk fan. And I like when these teams, you know, don't forget what made them who they are. So both of those, the Jeopardy thing was fantastic, just the way they did it with the question and who it was, you know, they got Alex Rick got the German name right and Strutzel. It was well done and all. Yeah, they've been really – the NHL's really got it going right now. Just the slight differences, like from the NFL draft, I like – that Gary Bettman went to NHL studios instead of doing it from his home. I just think it's a better video. I also think it's going very quick on that part. Not the part of the 5 minutes in between picks, but he's not talking himself out of people wanting to watch. For that matter, so are the people making the picks, if you notice. There's not a lot of thank you for this, and, you know, we hope everyone's safe with COVID. Everyone already knows that. Get on the air, make your pick, and get off. Let the network show the players. No, really, you let the if you're gonna make us wait the 5 minutes, I don't want to hear the same line from every general manager or from Gary Bettman the whole time. Show us who these players are. Give us a little more in depth. At least if you're gonna wait in between pick, get something out of it. So I like how they've gone. I really like how they've gone that matter with it. You know, it's a good flow. It's a good deal that you have the NHL with NBCSN and TSN because I'm a huge Bob McKenzie fan. I mean, most hockey people are. What he says is dead on, and it's great to get 2 hours of his insight. Unfortunately, we have Pierre McGuire on the other side, so we got to take the good with the bad. But It yeah, you're right. They've been doing everything right. They have, even today when they made the, I don't know if you noticed, they made sort of an announcement that they're looking to start January 1 for the 2020-21 season. And they brought off the bat them and the NHLPA. He knows he's doing the right thing by keeping the PA involved with them, and he's just hit every nail on the head that he can right now. They're really on fire in the NHL. They're doing everything right. Not too many complaints. I mean, everyone has little complaints, but overall, I don't think you can complain about it.
Right. I would love it. You know what I mean? This is, you know, as far as the teams that we root for, me and you have the same football team. This is the first overall pick for a New York team since, what, Eli? So this is a great night for Rangers fans, and who knows, like, years to come, we might be in that fortunate situation to hoist the cup. I don't want to lose track of this, because I meant to say this earlier when you said as far as the depth at wings. I think this is one of those reasons, RP, that I've always told you the last – even last season, but more so before Panarin came on, I felt like the Rangers for the last couple of seasons, it felt like if one of the guys in the top six was out, it was really hard to make up ground. I felt like one of the Rangers, to me, I always tell you on the postseasons and the shows during the week, that if they're at full strength, they can play with anybody in the league. I feel that now, if Kreider is out for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, if somebody goes down, somebody could pick it up. I think we have that now. I don't think we had that the last couple of years. That's the difference as far as the depth, the quality of depth in the wings. Where I could probably sleep better at night, because I felt every time the Rangers had a clip in the injuries, Zibanejad would get hurt, Kreider would be out or whatever. I'm like, it just didn't feel right. You could just tell by the shifts. You could tell by the way the flow of the game. Like, it just was off. Even if Brandon Lemieux was out, like you said, as far as for whatever, you know, anybody. Like, if you missed the kink in the armor, it felt like the Rangers was just not the same unit. I think now we can make up for, as long as it's not significant injuries. I'm not saying multiple. I'm saying maybe one, possibly
right.
two. But this, we're good. I think
offensively
we're good,
because
we don't have these struggle goals like we used to have.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. It's a balanced team now. When you look at the lineup on paper, obviously, paper is different, and I understand that. But when you look at the lineup on paper, there is a lot there that you got to be happy with. And if the guys just do what they're expected to do and all, they're going to have three really hard-fought, solid lines. They're going to be tough to compete against. They're stronger net with Shesterkin. They're going to improve on the defense. They've improved on the offense. And I really think, like you said, now is the time. The first round pick makes them, without a doubt, a playoff team now. Now you're back to, if you don't make the playoffs, it's a lost season. That's where that puts them. Because now you got Panarin playing really well, right? You got Zibanejad playing well. We're expecting Kako to have an incredible year. We're expecting Hedl to step it up a little bit.
Strome
to have another good season. You know what it is now? From 2018 to the middle of last season, right before the Rangers went on that hot streak before COVID shut everything down, it was, all right, we're rebuilding. We don't expect the playoffs. We expect to compete every game. But then that hot streak came along, and now they get the first round, the first overall draft pick. Now expectations are high again. Now it's no longer I just want to compete. Now I want to win every game again. It's crazy, obviously. But as a hockey fan, when you think your team is good, you think you're not going to lose. You're getting close to that level again where the Rangers, when all that pressure is going to come back on. You know, we expect them to get to the conference finals again. We don't expect first-round losses now. It's weird. The whole mentality, the expectation, what fans want, because fans have been very patient since 2018. I mean, you and I see this on Twitter all the time. Rangers Twitter is a minefield.
It's brutal.
Last week they were trading everybody and their mother. Last week,
Rangers,
oh my God, maybe they won't pick. Maybe they won't take LeFerrier. They're going to take the other kid, who's the second round pick, Holden. Oh, well, wait a minute. Everybody, calm down. It's just speculation because there's nothing to talk about. So they kind of talk themselves into trouble. They talk themselves out of the right move. It's a very unique.
Yeah.
the situation. But with that, since 2018 when the letter, which is everything that we compare things to now, came out, till now, fans overall have been understanding. They've accepted a lot of trades. They're seeing a lot of fan favorites move on to make the team better. Now it's time for them. Now it goes the other way. Now the organization's got to step up. The fans stepped up for 2-3 years. Now it's their turn. And with that pick today, I expect playoff.
Yeah.
I expect the second round at least. And I know that's a lot of pressure on them, but that's just how it goes. You can only, you know, you can only stay at that level so long. You think about when you and I first talked about this, you can't rebuild in New York. The fan base would never allow it. Well, guess what? The fan base kind of agreed with it. It was time to rebuild. It's something that was never done before, probably never happened again. So, you know, now we see if it was all worth it. But they're at a level now and they should be damn exciting to watch. Real exciting.
I mean, think about
that
it like this.
A lot out of them.
Think about the players the Rangers had when they were making deep runs. They had the Derek Stepans. They had the Matt Zuccarello type players, favorite type players. They didn't want to let those guys go. Now you replace them with a Panarin and the number one overall draft pick. Like, the Rangers fans are going to change their team. They're going to win the Super Cup.
And Kako, you know, number two last year.
Kapokako.
You got a couple of number ones floating around. You got a lot. Look, Kapokako is going to have a ton of pressure on him this year. A ton of them. It's the second year. It's just like Hughes in Vancouver. His second year. I think Kako is going to be fine this year. I really do. I know.
Me too.
I don't see why he wouldn't be. I really love to see Kravtsov come back flying at the level everyone expected him to play at. And look, some people just take more time than others to adjust. He handled it the best way that he can handle, whether fans agree with it or not, and the way he walked away from Hartford and all. That's all water under the bridge, because he went to the KHL and, I don't know, he scored 6 in the first 7 games, or 5 in the first 7 games. He was playing very well. You could see all of a sudden the confidence he had out there is what you want to see here. Even if he doesn't score, you're looking for that confidence. That's what you're looking at a Kako. Kako's a goal scorer. If he gets confident to drive to the net a lot, get good quality shots on goal, he's going to score his goals. Last year when he looked tired and all, he wouldn't drive to the net. And that took away half his game. You can't get to the net. You can't get the good scoring opportunity on the net. So I think this year you're going to see a different Kako. You're going to see a whole different squad. This is going to be a lot of pressure on the head coach too now. No more excuses. This will be his third year. It's time to crap and get off the pot. So it should be interesting.
I'm thinking within the division right now. I mean, Washington's window is open, but it's kind of closing a little bit. They've had a window for a long time. Your Carolina Hurricanes, I think their window is open. I mean, the Islanders is definitely. Philly, I mean, there's a lot of competition. And then Pittsburgh, I mean, they kind of a shell of themselves, but it's still Pittsburgh. They're still going to be tough. I mean, it is not going to be easy. But, we have, I guess, more armor, ammo as far as competing now. So it's going to make it interesting. It's a tough division, man. It really is. It's just from the Islanders, Philly. You saw what, I think Philly's even going to be even better than what Elaine Vigneault brought to them last year. I think Carolina especially. I think they're going to be another team that's like kind of on the up. Rob Brindamore's squad. I like what they're doing. Just within that division, I think the Atlantic is, I think they're strong, but I don't think they're as strong as the Metro, man. I think the Metro is just a gauntlet, like you said. And then you don't want to upset the Rangers minefield. That's what we're gonna call it. It's no longer Rangers Twitter. Rangers minefield. The minefield's been kind of quiet for the most part. I seen a little bit of Jack Eichel talk, and I was trying not to pay too much attention because
that was never gonna happen.
Right.
That was never going to happen. Something? Buffalo has to do the right thing for Eichel out there. They do. He came in 2015. He's a great hockey player that never has anybody around him. And, you can understand the frustration. Anybody who comes in the NHL, everyone wants to win a Stanley Cup, granted. But you want to be on a winning team. You want to make the playoffs consistently. You want to be talked about media-wise and all. The team just always seems to be going backwards. So, you know, and he's in a tough spot. You don't want to request a trade because then you're always in the bad eye of that team forever. And he doesn't seem to be the kid that is like that. But, you know, he should be able to speak up and say, you got to do better for me or for us. So I can understand that. But I never thought that would happen. But then again, I never thought Lundqvist would be going to the Washington Capitals, and that's about to happen. So who knows anymore?
Right. Real quick before we get off, I wanted to share a quick story because we kind of knew for the most part who was going number one overall. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like no surprise. Unless the Rangers got real cute with it and to piss off the fans, and I don't think they really wanted that. And piss off the press, piss off Ranger Prowl. They really didn't want to do that. But the number two pick is an excellent player. I already kind of knew it was going to happen because, as you already know, me being in Los Angeles over the weekend, I was actually at their facility Friday. When I got into town, because that's where I went to eat. They had some pickup games. They have a little hockey league out there, whatever, RP. And that was the kind of the chatter, the staff at the Kings Cove right out, over there by LAX, about having Quentin Byfield as their pick. They got a nice player, too, by the way. I just wanted to give him a shout-out. And then the rest of the draft, the 2020 draft, there's some good talent in here from a lot of what everybody is saying as far as the NHL Network, what all to say. But I still, at the end of the day, I got to go back and watch and see with my own two eyes. That's kind of how I evaluate things. But I wanted to give Quentin Byfield a shout-out because his junior, you know, playing in his career, or short career right now with Sudbury, I think the Kings got a nice player too, by the way. I just wanted to give him a shout-out. And then that was kind of a shout-out I've heard at that facility at the Kings Cove right out there at LAX. Good Buffalo tenders, by the way. Fantastic Buffalo tenders. other than that, RP, any expectations? Building the quality of depth as far as the next couple of rounds, how you looking at that? And then if you want to get some final thoughts and articles you want to share, I know I definitely want to get to know what you're going to write about with this draft or, you know, post, NHL season, post NHL draft.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I think I got to tell you, you got to keep your eye on the Ryan Strome situation. If the Rangers don't make him a qualifying offer by tomorrow at 5:00, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So they're cutting it down to the nitty gritty. I think the Rangers believe it would go to arbitration because he's going to be asking for a lot of money, and I don't think the Rangers want an outside arbitrator to determine either A, they have to pay him a certain amount of money, or B, they say they won't pay him that certain amount of money, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent and walks for free anyway. You can't let a guy like Strome with the year that he had walk away. So the Rangers are one of the few teams that really haven't announced their qualifying offers. And remember, they have a few restricted free agents with arbitration rights. Gorgiev, D'Angelo, Lemieux, Strome. There's one more I'm missing. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's another player. So they're going to have to make a decision between now and 5:00 tomorrow night that either A, we're going to qualify them, give them a qualifying order, or they're going to trade them, because you're not going to let them become a USA and walk away tomorrow afternoon. That's just not going to happen. So I think that's why they haven't made an announcement about who they've tended offers to, other than the rumor that D'Angelo was offered one, because they don't know what they're doing with Strome. I did a report earlier today, I don't know how reliable it is, isn't reliable, that said something with Strome might happen to today's draft. They can't wait to tomorrow's draft, rounds 2 through 7, because it'll be cutting it too close. So keep your eyes open, because something is going to happen with Strome. Without a doubt, something's going to happen with Strome, whether they have something in the works already and they're waiting for the draft to end, or maybe last minute they offer him a qualifying offer and then maybe do a sign and trade. I really don't know. But that is the one big factor here. If they trade Strome, who they trade him for, hopefully it's a center. It's got to be an NHL quality player for, you know, what they're getting back. So, and with regards to writing, I'm running with Downtown Sports. I'm running for Empire Sports Media. So just keep your eyes open. I try to get something out one way or another every day, every other day between working and all of that and editing and so forth. So I appreciate the support as always. Keep sharing those articles if you like them. Hell, share the articles even if you don't like them. I need all the views I can get.
Right.
So, you know, and if anything breaks with the...
Oh,
I appreciate it, Steve. I love doing it and all. It's been nice to have something to talk about, write about, tweet about. It was a long period there, so don't forget, we got free agency beginning on Friday. You have to anticipate maybe the Rangers making a move in there. And, you know, Ranger fans, don't be disappointed if you see Hendrick in a red, white, black jersey next week. It looks like he's going to be playing with Ovechkin, which doesn't really surprise me, I got to tell you the truth. Oh, you want to know something? He's going to stay on the way, on the East Coast. He didn't want to retire. I always believed he didn't want to retire. That's why the Rangers had to buy him out. And where was he going to go? He wasn't going to the West.
Yeah.
Even though Vegas is looking to move Fleury, which they're having a hell of a time trying to do, he wasn't going to. Always said he didn't want to really pick up and uproot his family. Well, if he didn't want to uproot his family, then Washington's not bad. It's not far away. If he wants to keep the family in New York and travel, or if they want to pick up and just go a little bit south and move to the Washington or the Maryland areas, you know, and it's funny. All those years, Ovi and Lundqvist battled. It'd be kind of fun if the Rangers can't win a cup. It'd be kind of fun to see if they could get him one before then. I don't think he's going to start, obviously, but I guess he liked the opportunity because even just when we were talking, Steve McKenzie on NBCSN just said everything's indicating that the first thing that's going to happen Friday at free agency is Hank's going to sign. He could have signed already. He could have agreed, already, but he couldn't actually sign a contract until the free agency period starts. So that's what we're going to wait on and just see what happens.
That is going to be weird to watch, man. You know, I didn't follow the news closely like you have. If that happens, now I've heard worse, RP. I think somebody last week mentioned what's the possibility of him going to Pittsburgh, and I almost threw up. You know, like that's like
I heard the Islanders are looking for a backup because he said he wanted to stay local. So we kind of knocked a lot of teams out of
any of those teams is going to be pretty bad, depending on the level of strong dislike and loathe. But RP is like that's like almost like the equivalent of, let's say, Hulk Hogan going heel and becoming Hollywood Hogan. I mean, that was
tough,
man.
That's
just
tough.
To watch that. Now,
you're right.
Real.
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with that either. No, you are right.
Oh, my goodness.
That was good.
And I heard it was the team.
Oh, and really quick, you know who took a beating today? And I don't like to bang on anybody because it's all hard, but Larry Brooks of the Post took a beating today.
Oh.
Almost all those predictions went out the window off one trade. Every time he says something's going to happen, something else happens. That guy just had a tough day at the office. We just showed you on any given day, anyone could be on top of the world and down. He just had a tough day. He's now reporting that the Devils wanted to take Schneider, and that's why the Rangers moved up, which really makes no sense to me because this kid isn't going to be NHL ready for 2-3 years at least. They should have taken a center, Steve. They're going to feel it.
That's the thing. We're going to, like, when years to come, we're going to look back at this day, and we're going to say, we're going to keep track, like a tally, like who had a better night.
We're
going to
say great
face
to
face.
Right now. Right. Yeah,
so
you're right.
Capitals and the same thing with the Capitals, like as far as the player you wanted, those these are what these nights are all about, man. Like, did we make a mistake back in 2020 when it's 2029? You know, like that's, you look back like a decade, you know, ahead. This is what this night is about, man. Overall excited as of right now, I'm thoroughly excited, and we'll definitely talk more as time goes, as the NHL off season, and we'll see what happens as far as any news. But that's the thing. My last thought, RP, you know, your world with the media, the reports, that's why I always stay away from that. That's not my thing. I'm kind of more of the let me see what happens in the game, on the rink, then I'll react to what I saw. And then if you want to compare and contrast matchups, I could do that because I watch the games. But the prediction business is a biatch because you better be on the money for credibility. Because you better be on the money if you got the sources, like you say, and you ain't landing on what you said was going to happen, they're going to drag you. And
yeah, that's why I don't like to do the rumors and predictions. I'm horrible at that anyway. I rarely do it. I don't enjoy it. Some guys enjoy doing it, you know, like they go, oh, let's see what happens if A happens or B happens. With me, I just like to know the facts or not. I don't get into projected lineups and projected rosters and all because, you know, if one is wrong, then your projection's out the window. And it could go any old way. So, but yeah, you know, I just take what I get from the McKenzies and the Darren Dragers and all of that and kind of piece something together to offer to the fans that is in the ballpark. Because that's just not my cup of tea. I tell people that all the time. They say, oh, what's your predictions for the playoffs? This and that. You, even when you and I do it, you see how I struggle with it.
Yeah.
I just suck. I suck at it.
No, we just
do it because it's fun. I do it because it's fun. You and I have a good laugh out of it, and it's all good. But when I'm writing it and I'm trying to be as correct and I don't want to say professional because I'm not a professional writer, so as accurate as I can be, it's not my cup of tea. So I just let the other people do it.
But
sometimes I'll comment on that,
credit.
You know.
But give yourself credit because a couple of years ago when me and you were making our draft predictions, we kind of landed on some of these draft picks from a couple of drafts ago.
Oh,
the
K.R.
Miller
was the only kid.
Yeah, but not
I still
just
remember
draft,
that.
As far as
that was
the
great, man.
Positions
that,
and trade
out. Yeah.
We do a lot.
Absolutely. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. We do. It's just a hard thing to do, especially when you're commenting and you're tweeting with Rangers Twitter and you know something. Every person that comments good or bad towards me, it's great because I'd rather them say something negative and attack on it. At least I know they're reading it and they're trying to go along with it and I'm getting instead of just being totally ignored. But on the flip side, people could be tough. Let me tell you.
Sometimes
I write an article and I'm like, why the hell did I even bother writing that story? You know. I've been ripped on Reddit and all these other things and all the times, and you just keep doing it. I just like the conversation, so it's cool. But you know, you've seen it, you read it. Some people are a little on the low.
Yeah.
Let's back up. Let's back up a little bit. It's only a hockey game, man. This isn't COVID in life. This is sports. Let's enjoy a little bit more. But you know that's what it's about. That's what's great about Ranger fans. You know, they bleed blue literally. And I'm right there with them. I mean, right before they called that kid's name tonight, I had the goosebumps going. My heart was racing. I was, you know something? We haven't had a lot of exciting moments in the last couple of years. That was a big moment for Ranger fans. Do you hear, when you watch the pre-show today, and all they're talking about is Laferriere, all they're talking about is him, how can you not get excited? I mean, it was normally they're talking about that for Detroit or for Ottawa or for whoever the bottom team is, you know, and the way it worked out, they were talking about the guy that we were taking first. And it was like, I couldn't wait to hear him say it. Because I gave him my daughter, said, until he says it, anything can happen. We're talking about Rangers tradition here. We've seen some good opportunities get lost. So I think that's really, it was a really good moment.
You know,
and fans are going to enjoy it for years.
Yeah, we'll be back with Ranger Proud. Good episode, good dialogue, RP. I'm going to make a bold prediction, even though we were just talking about not making predictions just now. I might go out on a limb. He may have a better career. I know I love apples and oranges because I'm an apples and oranges sports guy because I like to compare sport athletes. He's going to have a better career than Ewing. I'm putting it out there right now. His career on the
ice
is going to be better than
Ewing's
on the court.
Wow.
I'm going there.
That is a bold statement. Because even though Ewing didn't win it, Ewing had a great career here.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bold statement.
Sometimes you
got to
roll the dice, man.
I'm trying to figure out, is he going to score more goals as a rookie than any other winger in NHL history or not? Which is Panarin, I believe. Keane, I forget which one has that. That's what I want to see, because that's how much pressure this kid's got on him. That you're thinking he's going to be better than Ewing, and I'm thinking he's going to have the most goals scored by a rookie winger in NHL history. That's a weird thing, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, that depends on time on the ice and what line he's playing on. And yeah, you got to have the opportunity. He's going to have that number of shifts. And we'll see where he is going to be in the lineup as his season and career projects, man. But RP, fun episode. We'll talk. And we'll be on Rangers Twitter with you and also on the Facebook as well and reading the articles, man. Shout out to RP. Sangre Esso, ladies and gentlemen. Ranger Town. Enjoy. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep.